If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. This is the world's top fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is a Q&A episode. This is where we answer questions asked by listeners like you. But the way we open the episode is with a 40-minute introductory portion. This is where we talk about current events. We talk about what happens in our lives. Sometimes we mention our sponsors. So here's the breakdown of this podcast. We start out by talking about Mother's Day. We're recording this episode the day after Mother's Day, so we kind of talk about what happened on that day. Then we talk about how Adam made protein pancakes up in Truckee for his family for Mother's Day. Now, these are pancakes made with Organifi protein powder. So rather than just eating cake, you got the protein in there also. Organifi is one of our sponsors. They make organic supplements, protein powder being one of them. If you go to Organifi.com, that's Organifi.com/mindpump, and use the code mindpump, you'll get 20% off any of their products. We also talked about vitamin D and how some studies are showing that vitamin D deficiencies or low levels of vitamin D are now being strongly correlated to terrible symptoms from COVID. We already know that low vitamin D levels increases your odds of getting the flu or other respiratory diseases. Mm. Now, one thing about vitamin D, it's a fat-soluble vitamin. So that means it gets stored in your body. So if your vitamin D levels are good, taking some as a supplement may not be a good idea. So how do you know if you should take vitamin D or not? Well, you get a blood test. Normally, you go to your doctor and they prescribe, you go to the lab and you get a blood test. Or you can do a test at home. Everlywell is a company that makes at-home tests. They do hormone tests. They do allergy tests. They also do vitamin tests, like the vitamin T test, a vitamin D test that I did a couple weeks ago. So with Everlywell, you go on their website, you order one of the tests. If you use our code, you get 25% off. You do the test at home and you just mail it in. All right. So here's how you get 25% off. Go to everlywell.com. That's EverlyWell.com and use the code MindPump and you'll get 25% off any of the tests on their site. Then we talked about Elon Musk, his interview on the Joe Rogan podcast, and Neuralink. Justin brought up a new show on YouTube called The Age of AI.
Fantastic show.
We talked about how Tesla is leaving California. Ugh. Mm. I talked about the bad food relationships that offensive linemen in the sports ball game of football tend to get. Justin talked about the humping hound. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's happening.
And I talked about how low reps and high reps tend to require different set allocations in your workouts. Oh, before we get into the questions, make sure you head over to mapsprimewebinar.com. So what you do is you go there, you sign up for our free priming class. So Justin is actually going to teach you how to prime your body before your workouts. This allows you to be more connected to your muscles, gives you better workouts, makes you stronger. Believe it or not, you can actually lift more weight with proper priming. It's a totally free class. Again, Justin's taking you through the whole thing. He's actually using Doug as the person that he's training in the class, but he's also talking to you as you're watching this course. It's totally free. We're doing this as a service for all of our listeners. Just go sign up at mapsprimewebinar.com. That's mapsprimewebinar.com. Then we answered the fitness questions. So here's the first one. This person wants to know if it makes a difference if you did 10,000 steps all in one shot or if you spread it throughout the day. Like, are there benefits to doing one or the other? The next question, this person wants to know if essential amino acids and branched chain amino acids are worth the money. Like, do they do anything for you or are they a waste of time? The next question, this person wants to know how our wives are currently working out. Apparently they checked out our wives and thought they were hot, so now they want to know how they're working
exactly
out.
That's exactly what happened.
You creeps.
Yeah.
And the final question, this one's in honor of Mother's Day. What is one thing that each of our mothers instilled in us when we were young that we're grateful for today? Love you, Mom. Also, this month, one of our best at-home workout programs, MAPS Starter, is 50% off. Now, here's what you need to follow this program. A stability ball and dumbbells. That's it. And you can train your entire body. Now, this program is great for beginners because it gets you started on how to balance, how to increase stability, strengthen your body. But it's also good for intermediate and advanced people. Every once in a while, it's a good idea to visit a program that gets you to really focus on your balance, technique, and form for at least 6 to 10 weeks so you can go back to your regular workouts and get past those plateaus that you're in. So anyway, this program is 50% off. Here's how you get that discount. Go to mapsstarter.com. That's mapsstarter.com and use the code STARTER50. That's STARTER50, no space, for the discount.
T-shirt time!
And it's T-shirt time.
Oh, shit, Doug. You know it's my favorite time of the week.
Ooh, yeah. We only have two winners today. Very light reviews. For iTunes, we have Lee Harvey Teabag. And for Facebook, we have RC Liley. Both of you are winners. Send the name I just read to itunes@mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get that shirt right out to you.
You guys have a good Mother's Day or what?
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
We love the moms.
What'd you guys all do? What happened? What'd you do, Milt. Justin? How did you make your mom and wife feel special on Mother's Day?
Well, okay. So Courtney actually has been really getting into learning new recipes, and she's getting really excited about exploring options with food and stuff and like how to make things healthier. And so I got a really cool cookbook for her that has like a ton of these recipes and everything. So that was a hit. It was more of like I'm paying attention to like her interests right now, and I was like trying to. It wasn't like here, cook me food.
I was gonna say, isn't it like getting your wife like a vacuum?
I know. It felt like that a little bit, but like it was, it was an expensive cookbook. Hey. So
it's an expensive vacuum. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here, make me food. Yeah, I know. I felt kind of like that, but she was really excited about that. And I got her like it was funny because like I got her something that was like totally not like what I would have normally in terms of like I want to get her something sexy, like wear something around the house sexy. I got her like this jumper thing that was all like really comfortable and like something she could wear because and not feel like a total scrub being around the house all the time in sweats. So it's kind of like wearing sweats, but like the nicer version of it. So anyway,
sounds like you gave her a couple of gifts for you.
Here, babe. That's what I do.
Make some food that look sexy. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
Dude, it's really like it's that and then me taking over like just the entire day, like letting her sleep, as long as she wants, like I don't know, dude. What the fuck else am I going to do?
Bail out now.
I'm just kidding.
I'm so romantical.
No, I'm sure she liked it. It reminds me of my dad.
She loved it.
My dad did something like that years ago. I never forget. My dad, it was Mother's Day, and he's not the kind to think about like what to get. Or he's old school, you know what I mean? So he's like, I'm going to go get her a present by myself, you know what I mean? So he goes out and he comes back.
It's a real risk.
And he comes back with a vacuum.
Yeah. No, he really did.
He did. And wow. He was like, he was trying to be thoughtful. And he goes, I hear you talking about how bad the vacuum is and how much it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I got you like one of the best ones or whatever. Like, and I remember even as a 12-year-old boy, I remember seeing that.
Going like, ooh, dad.
Yeah. And I was like, ah.
Yeah, not a good move. Yeah.
That was the move, dad.
Yeah. We went up to that place that you've been talking about.
Oh, yes. For. I totally forgot to ask you about that. How did you like it?
Gorgeous.
It is.
Gorgeous. We got this room. It's like a cottage almost, like a suite, and it's literally on the beach. Literally. Yeah. Like you go out onto your little patio area or whatever, and you hear the ocean, and I did some writing. We totally relaxed. So that was part of the Mother's Day gift or whatever. And then I also got her – have you guys seen those like baby books when you have a child that it tells you like, you put a picture of your baby when they were born, and this was the first – first favorite food.
The wristband you cut and put in there.
Yeah, you and your mom, me and your mom like when we were babies. Yeah, and so it was a really nice, so I got her one of those too.
Oh, that's cool.
So we had a really good time. And then, my mom, I got her, I went on, God, what's that, Etsy. You guys ever been on that site?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Why am I so negative?
I'm sorry. That's just one of those, like, it's just like a cesspool for buying a bunch of trinkets that you don't need in your house. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Like a, he's like an old grumpy man.
I know. I know. We went on a hike. I mean, there was a lot more to the story, but, you know.
Bro, it's all good. You get redeemed.
It's fine. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
Anyway, I went on there for my mom, and I found this necklace that you can put birthstones on it. So I put birthstones of all of my mom's grandkids in order of oldest to youngest. And then the last one was the baby that's coming. So I put that little birthstone.
God, what a good husband and son you are.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I should take notes from you guys.
No.
But no. Hey, careful, bro. No, don't say you guys yet. I haven't gone yet.
All right. So I'm we'll see how Adam's doing
look,
over there.
You're still married. I got divorced the first time. Yeah. Let's just.
Damn it.
Yeah, take a step back.
All right.
You don't want to listen to me all the time.
Pump your brakes.
I don't know. You're doing well right now.
Yeah. What about you, Adam? What'd you.
Well, we were all up at the Truckee house, right?
Oh,
so we went up there with Katrina's family.
That was a lot of people?
Yeah. Well, her family, right? So her family's big, right?
Sure,
so, you know, we filled the house up for sure. And whenever we do stuff like that, one of the things I love that her family does, and they started this tradition with me, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago. Every year we all go, and normally it's around Thanksgiving and Christmas. We go to somewhere and rent a house for normally a week or whatever. And what they do is they assign, because there's so many of us, you have a meal that you are responsible for bringing everything for it. You're responsible for preparing it. You're responsible for cleaning the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, that's what we did when we went.
Yeah, when you guys were with us, right?
Yeah,
so that's something we always do. And I just love that. It makes because then I know that, okay, this morning I have breakfast and I've got to cook and clean. And then other than that, I ain't got to do shit around keeping the house up, and you don't feel guilty about not helping somebody clean. It's like, it's your day. You know what I'm saying? It's your day. It's your meal. You handle it. I had Mother's Day breakfast with, Jalen and Jasmine. So the three of us prepared protein pancakes. Well, that's funny. You know, today was an Organifi commercial. I totally could have just slid that commercial in there. Yeah. I forgot today was a commercial for them, and we actually my Mother's Day breakfast was the protein pancakes. So we used that powder in there for protein pancakes, and then we had potatoes and bacon.
How many scoops per
I do a 2-to-1 ratio. So whatever I forget what what do you call it? Pancake mix that Katrina used, what brand it was. So, you know, sue me. You can use any brand. Mm-hmm. And then whatever ratio of the flour batter mix I use, so I go 2-to-1. So one protein scoop for that.
Any
more than that, like, so when Katrina and I are home, we may push it to like 1.5 to 2 or whatever, so 1-to-1 ratio. But then it has a little bit stronger protein taste and a little chalkier, and we know we're serving a bunch of people that are...
You put your fork in and just powder.
Well, yeah. I don't mind. It's still good to me. And so when Katrina makes them for me at home, and what we do is and I did this too. So I sliced up strawberries, blueberries, bananas, and I put them in the pancakes. So you had like either banana or strawberry or blueberry protein pancakes. And we did like half the amount of protein mix than we would do at our house.
You do vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla. I think
vanilla blends the best.
It does. I think vanilla just does better with mixing things like pancakes and stuff like that because they already kind of have that flavor to it, I think. So, yeah, that's what we made them all the mom's breakfast. And, of course, they didn't have to do anything. Katrina and I went on a really nice bike ride. For her mom and her, I had a really nice framed picture. So you know that picture that I took, I think I shared it on Max's page, of Katrina and Max on the beach. Just a really good, it's a really beautiful day on the beach.
Yeah.
And it's a recent photo of Max and her. So I did one for, there's a couple different shots I got. I got one that I gave to her and one that I gave to her mom that I framed really nice and then presented that to them. And then, like I said, the rest of the day, Katrina and I kind of hung it. We kept her from having to do anything and made sure that everyone was helping out with Max. And then her and I went for a bike ride. And so that was kind of her Mother's Day. So that's what it was.
That's nice. Yeah. How was it up there in Truckee?
Oh, dude, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, bro, you got to tell me about the bear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Is that real?
Yes. Yes. Massive, dude. I mean, we were talking about this, you know, we've been up there a bunch of times now.
I'm not cool with this.
You're such a scaredy cat, dude.
Yeah, all you can do is make a lot of loud noise.
Yeah, they're afraid of humans, dude.
I got
chased
by a bear, dude.
Remember? What? They're not messing with you. Yeah. And the only time I would be afraid is if mother bear and it had like two cubs and I was near. Like, that would kind of worry me because I know they can get very protective of their cubs. But otherwise, black bears are normally really scared of you. So if you make a bunch of noise, they go. And
now, were you outside? And then it just.
So Katrina and their family were sitting around the fire, and it was like I'd say dusk. So still light outside, very light outside. And they were sitting around the fire. I was in the living room. I just happened to be walking through the living room, you know, where our big picture windows are, mm-hmm. so you can see the golf courts and everything. And all of a sudden, I see this bear just fucking flying, massive too, big old one, just hoofing right through the. Right through the golf course, and I was like, oh, my eyes lit up, and then I looked at them out by the fire. They had all seen it, and they were like pointing, and they're like, did you see that? I said, yeah, no, I saw him. I said, I guess we do have some wildlife out here.
Looking for some trash.
The only knock that I have of our place up there is, well, it's not the place, it's just the being up there. My skin gets so dry, dude. So my psoriasis is just like, on a whole nother level up there.
It's super dry up
there. Yeah, I mean, you guys feel it, right? You feel your lips get dry and your throat.
I'm not usually a lotion guy. I'm like super lotion up there.
Yeah.
Lathering constantly.
For me, with my psoriasis, it just gets, it's 10 times worse up there. That's the only downfall.
Yeah, are you still doing the vitamin D supplements?
And here's, you know what? Funny you bring that up because I'm good about it when I'm home. I have to be better about traveling with my vitamin D, especially when I know that I'm going up there because I know it's going to make it worse anyway. So I didn't while I was up there. So
yeah, because it's strongly connected to psoriasis.
Yeah, no, you're the one that turned me on to that in the first place.
Now, the last time you tested your vitamin D, where were you in the range?
So I forget how Everlywell does their scoring because their scoring is different than like
a. But they'll give you a range.
Yeah, yeah. So I was on, when I tested, so check this out, I was actually taking. 5,000, I think, is a pill. Yeah,
5,000 IUs.
I was taking 5,000 IUs, and I tested with the Everlywell test, and I still was a low. Like, I wasn't even in the normal range. So I was below the normal range with taking 5,000 IUs. So now I take 10,000 IUs. And I know, to caution someone listening, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling people to go out if you have psoriasis that you should take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D. I recommend that you get tested and figure it out. Because I know that I was really low, so I take that much. And
that's why it's so important to test, because vitamin D is fat soluble. So if your D levels are high and you supplement, that's not good for you either. Mm-hmm. If they're low and you're supplementing with, say, 5,000 IUs and it's not enough to get it up, then you would probably need to take more. So that's why testing is so important. It's not like a water-soluble viable vitamin that you could just, you know, like vitamin C, I could take 5,000 milligrams. And aside from maybe possible stomach upset, my body gets rid of what it doesn't need with something like vitamin. You know what else they found with vitamin D? In fact, a very strong correlation to low vitamin D and severe symptoms from the COVID-19 virus.
Do you think that's what's connected to the whole homeless thing that we were talking with Dr. Drew about?
Yeah, so that's interesting. I thought about that because, if you haven't listened to that episode, we interviewed Dr. Drew about the homeless crisis in California. And at the end of towards the end of the episode, I asked him, you know, because the homeless population you would think is the perfect storm for a virus to go through and just ravage, right? They're unhealthy, many of them drugs, they're on the street dirty.
I think it's low immunity, you'd think.
You think, right? And he's like, yeah, he goes, they're not getting, there's a lower instance of COVID among the homeless population than there are amongst
everyday and
people.
He said the ones that are like asymptomatic, right?
Yeah,
so not only are they already lower, but then even the small percentage that have are asymptomatic.
Yeah, but then again, they are outside all the time. And so, and they, again, with respiratory illness like the flu, if your vitamin D levels are low, your odds of getting severe symptoms are higher. One of the theories, there's a lot of factors, but one of the theories that I've read about as to why there's even a flu season to begin with has to do with vitamin D levels, where in the winter, you're just not getting as much sun. If you're kind of low, it's enough to get you below a certain level, and then you get effect. I just sent in my vitamin D Everly Well
Test. Oh, is that what you took?
I did.
So you did vitamin D. I got the allergy one, which, by the way, I haven't taken mine yet, but I need to.
Yeah.
And then Justin.
I just did mine.
You got the pregnancy one. Which one did you get?
Yeah, no, heavy metals. I wanted to see like if there was any toxic metal, like levels.
Cheese?
No, because I drink tap water and everything, and I don't know. Like I was just curious.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I was just curious about it. So I figured they have a whole host of different tests, and obviously too, I thought it'd be kind of funny because I want to see how metal I really am.
That is the real reason.
Just to brag.
I was searching for that because I knew that. I was like, why the fuck do you take a heavy metal test? I got the hard allergies.
I'm so much more metal than you guys. Yeah. You know, I just want to say that.
The test is going to come back heavy. Yeah, super heavy metal.
Super heavy. I'm like, yes, but that means I'm dying.
Yeah. Well, if you have high heavy metals in your system, then you have to get them out. It'd be toxic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they give you kind of vague symptoms, I think, sometimes, like general, like shitty symptoms.
Autoimmune kind of symptoms.
No, because I supplement with vitamin D every day, I do 5,000 to 10,000 every day, and I have for a long time. I test regularly because I don't want it to go too high. If I see it gets too high, then I'll lower my dose. You know what I'm saying? But otherwise, I'll keep it. And it's just, we don't get enough sun, dude.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line.
I mean, we feel it all the time being cooped up in this studio even.
So. Nobody gets enough sun. Yeah. Think about it this way. Humans evolved getting a lot of sun. Like, no way we were in caves as much as we are indoors nowadays. There's no way.
I agree. Yeah.
We're just outside all the time. And so the vitamin D levels have to be. By the way, dietary cholesterol helps your body synthesize vitamin D. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's one of
which we've been told to avoid forever.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Yeah. Crazy. All these factors against us.
Yeah. Hey, I listened to a little bit of the Elon Musk episode with Rogan.
Yeah. How far did you get? I listened to about halfway through.
Second one.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did a second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's weird.
It's even more awkward.
Yeah. He's really awkward.
Remember last time we were talking, we had this debate, and I was like, come on, dude. It's awkward.
Bro, because he's asking him about Neuralink, because like they're getting pretty close to, you know, testing it with humans and whatnot. Like he speculates, another year from now or something, but they're going to start, which is interesting. I didn't know that this was the approach first, was that they were going to try to like help to heal brain injuries first. So that's like their first iteration is to start with basically they like bore out a part of the skull and then they replace it with this microchip. And that way like the little wires are like neurons, like they're and so they can connect and basically restore some functions, like say like I like hearing loss, like eyesight, like paralysis, like things like that, they can target by reconnecting this neural link there.
Wow.
Really interesting.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't go bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a while, I think, before people like, but that's the thing is he's going to start with more of, real serious brain injury type people to experiment with first.
They're going to give you two options. The first one is more expensive. The second one comes with ads. So you're going to hear again, but every 15 minutes.
You get an ad.
You're going to hear a commercial.
Yeah. So, exactly. I was interested in that because it's like he was pitching it forever as like this way to interface with the internet and like become like this superhuman almost, because of you'd be able to like have access to information. So
right. That, I mean, he alluded to that in the first one, right? Talking about how close we are.
Dude,
I mean,
we have no idea what that will do to the human psyche. We have no idea at all.
Dude, like overload. It might just crash the whole system.
Imagine.
Yeah, I certainly won't be one of the first.
He won't. I mean, he even admitted it. Like Joe, like kind of was like, "Oh, so when are you gonna like plant this in your head?" And he's like, "Well, we'll see how this goes with the brain injury people first.
Probably his kid.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen the memes surrounding his kid being born? Where like they have like robots that are father. What is this emotion thing? Don't worry, I know because he named him a weird name and did all that stuff.
AE-12A.
He's a very. I still think I'd be best friends with him if I met him.
Yeah.
Weird as hell, whatever. But he's a super. I love the dude.
Well, it definitely sparked for me like more interest. I'm very much into the whole sci-fi and like where we're going with everything. And I stumbled across this show. It's like a YouTube original. What's it called? The Story of AI or like
Age of AI.
So what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. is the one, the host for it. So he does the whole like Iron Man kind of a presentation thing where you have all the graphics and everything, but they explain where AI currently is right now. And it's like, it's they're learning to emulate what we already know and do. And so there's all these different segments where one of them was with Will.i.am, you know, the guy from the Black Peas.
Yeah.
He's trying to create this digital version of himself. So basically all his social media accounts and everything, like he can have this avatar answering everybody just like he would. And he looks just like it. So the guy that like came up with this technology was working with Avatar and all these like, you know, super CGI movies, and then kind of created his own business to then incorporate AI into this like realistic digital version of yourself that like answers. So it's crazy.
Where is this show? This sounds, I want to watch the show.
Dude, it's so fascinating.
But where do you watch it? Where is it?
It's YouTube. It's YouTube TV.
Oh, I don't have that.
Yeah, but you can still go on YouTube and you can get the first couple episodes just to try it out. So I highly suggest it. It's really fascinating.
Dude, I want to check this out so bad.
Doug just pulled up the trailer right here.
Yeah, did you guys watch that? What was that movie I kept telling you guys was really awesome? And it was about this dude who had a computer chip in his brain. It was on Amazon. And then he's like all of a sudden a badass. What was that movie called? Anyway, it was really, really well made. And it was interesting because people had upgrades like that. And so like, you know, I can only see so far, but imagine if you have an upgrade where just effortlessly I could zoom 100. I could see hella far, or I could hear.
It's like that Black Mirror episode.
Hella far or whatever, or I remember everything. Like,
well, the contact lens to do that is already out, right? I think I shared that like last year sometime, or at least 6+ months ago.
All kinds of
creeps. It's a contact lens. You put a contact lens in, and then it has the ability to zoom like freaking like a mile away or whatever.
Right, that's or you got a drone flying, and you could see through the drone in one eye and then see, you know, where you're at right now. Yeah, they have that too.
And that's what I'm saying. We have no idea.
Getting weird.
Remember, humans evolved with a particular, like our brain and how it works. You're going to change that radically. It's going to get weird.
Yeah, but when you say things like that, isn't there a part of you that also sounds just like your great grandpa?
Yeah.
Who said that when like television came out and
automobiles?
That's different than going into your brain.
Well, okay, kind of, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, they probably thought the TV was going to melt. They used to say it used to melt your brain. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought. So it for them, it wasn't that much more. It's not that much more radical than what we were already used to. So I always try and catch myself when I start saying that, because then I'm like, fuck, am I that old guy now who's just going to resist what's going to come?
Okay,
no matter
let me
what?
Give you an example. Let's just speculate. This will be fun, right? Okay. One thing that we've always, always, always had to deal with as self-aware creatures is our own mortality. We've always had to deal with this.
Yeah.
We know that we will die. This is actually what makes us human. Okay, so imagine now you know that you'll never die. You know that you can live forever. Think about how radically this is going to change how you think about things.
I don't know if I don't think it's going to change that, but I mean, talking about the show Upload, I think is really cool. The idea,
a great show, man.
Idea that you could upload your consciousness and you could get like, and they can use AI to basically predict what this you know, digital version of you. That's kind of cool. You know, I think that's kind of neat. And I always refer back to talking about my dad, right? Because as somebody who lost their father at an early age, we don't have a lot of photos. I don't have a lot of footage. If there was this AI version of him, because there was all this stuff that we were there, right? Mm-hmm. I'd at least have some sort of way to communicate with him. I don't know. Just that's interesting to me.
I guess I hadn't really thought about this and put it all together, but on the show, Will.i.am was talking about like how he was trying to be more of an owner of his data, and like how all these companies exist to basically like figure out who you are, your tendencies, your likes, your you know, where you go, like how you interact to people, even through your emails, like what you say, like, so they're compiling all of that to then create their, you know, like sell that to eventually to an AI company that's going to use that in some degree.
Well, let's say you do make, like you said earlier, you are able to make a copy of yourself who now becomes your assistant or works for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a copy is it going to be? Because if I literally made an identical copy to myself, I would tell myself to fuck off.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Let me put it this way. Imagine if you made a perfect copy of yourself. You made a perfect copy of yourself. You're like, hey, I just made you. You're going to go do all this work for me. Thank you. You would tell you, you could.
Oh, you mean
you can fuck off?
You mean, AI? I mean AI version would.
Yeah, if you made a perfect copy of you.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Why am I doing everything?
Why do you get all the fun stuff? Why do I have to do all the bullshit?
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. You're AI, dude. Your computer. Hey, I'm the real deal.
Oh no, dude.
That's part of it.
Reminds me of that Black Mirror episode where they made like their personal assistant.
Yeah.
And it was them, and then they controlled them in their phone or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, you don't want to do what I say? No problem." And then they pause it for like 10 minutes, but for the AI experience, it was like 6 months of total isolation. That I'll do anything you say. That's fucked up,
man. I've seen a lot of versions of this too, where like, yeah, you do that, like you put your consciousness in another like robot or whatever, like, and then that one's like, no, I want to be the real one, and then kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that this is going to go to the theory.
I would kill me. You want me to do what? You're not working? I'd be like, I figure out how to kill myself.
Stop.
You know what I'm saying?
So many warnings about this.
Yeah. There is going to be, I think there's going to be a very even split. There's going to be the unplugged and plugged in. There's going to be people that
the are unplugged, like live underground.
I don't think
ugly, you got crooked teeth.
Not at all. I think unplugged will, no.
We're not perfect.
No, dude. Yeah. Unplugged will look a lot like this weekend. You know, up there, it doesn't even look like COVID's going on. It's just every you see people walking by, you don't see people wearing masks. Yeah. It's just you're out in nature, you don't see people staring at phones all the time. I just think it'll be like that. I think it'll be like people that are in nature and are not connected to their phones and televisions and pads.
Oh, iPads. I hear what you say. I thought you meant that you'll have some people who are completely reject to that stuff, completely reject it, and then the other side that becomes a part of it. I can only imagine the unplugged, you know? We still have genetic, you know, problems.
Well, yeah.
We're not perfect or whatever.
See, and then what happens when you get a digital virus that kills off, like, all these Neuralink people, you know? And then the rest of the ones that didn't do it, you know, have to take over and rebuild.
Quick unplug.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Anyway, but Elon, on there, on that podcast, back to that, he said he was going to, he's selling everything. Apparently, he wants to sell.
Oh, yeah.
Most of his possessions.
Everything, or is he just trying to get out of California? The article I read, he was trying to leave California. Well,
his two separate things. Estates, too. Like his
what?
Yeah.
He's going to rent. Houses. He's going to rent. He wants to get rid of everything because he says that his possessions are a vector for attack. In other words, people come after him and say, well, you own all this stuff or whatever. He also says it weighs him down. So he wants to not own much stuff, which I think is pretty cool coming from somebody who has the money to own most things.
He's a billionaire.
That's interesting.
It's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? See, now what would scare me, I would definitely have at least a compound somewhere because I don't know. Just there's more and more of us and less space that I think property is going to be hard to come by, especially in areas that are desirable, right? Yeah. If you want to be somewhere near the water or something like that, or nice areas or near work, like to find a place to live. Could be really difficult in 20, 30 years.
Well, think about it this way. When you're a billionaire, one of your problems might be that you have a lot of stuff. That might actually be a challenge.
Too distracting. Yeah.
Not only just distracting, but he's right. It weighs you down. You get defined by it. Mm. You know, it feels complicated or whatever. You want to just kind of be free. You know what I mean? So sell it all. So I can kind of understand what he's talking about. And then the other part was you said what you're talking about, Adam, I read that article too, how he's taking Tesla out of California.
Well, now, that makes sense to me.
Is that happening? Because that was all because they told him they couldn't go back to work, right?
Yeah. So that's because
he's like, F you, I'm out.
This was like the last month. Yeah, they were just like, nope, you still can't do production.
Yeah, he said, well, hey, look, it's his right to do it. And I'm not going to lie, California is definitely not the easiest place to operate.
How stupid are we as a state? Isn't that the only car?
Yeah, that was the only one left.
That's the only one that's actually manufactured in here, everywhere else.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, all those people are going to be unemployed or move to another state. I'm sure he'll probably get wooed by, you know, Texas or another place like that.
He's already in Texas. He's already in Nevada. He'll just probably just double up, right?
Just open out there. But it was because they told him that he can't reopen. Yeah, mm-hmm. Even without because he said he was going to put, you know, special, you know, structures in place and practices to keep people
now,
safe.
Did Joe get into, like, because obviously Elon has been one of the you know, famous voices that have been talking against COVID this whole time. Did he get into that with him?
He got into it a little bit in terms of, like, what he's put on Twitter and how people responded to it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so they talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. Crazy. Hey, I was reading some sports ball stuff.
Wait. So
I thought you guys would like that.
Okay.
Well, what were you reading?
Actually, so there was an article.
I'm listening.
You know, I should find where it is so people can. We'll put it in the show notes, right? It's from the point of view from offensive linemen, right? and they're talking about how unhealthy of a relationship that they create with food because of the amount of weight that they need to gain. Mm-hmm. One of the guys was talking about how he would make a shake with grits, peanut butter, milk, chicken. It was like the most high-calorie, disgusting thing you could think of.
Yeah.
And he would drink it because chewing became so tiresome for him. And he'd have to consume 7,000 calories a day to get his weight up to where they wanted, which he needed to be over 300 pounds.
You know what's interesting about that? This topic you're bringing up? I've always found it kind of interesting that after the first time I read this, that you know the average life expectancy of someone who played in the NFL, I think, for 5 years or more?
It's definitely under 60, right?
It's 55.
That's crazy.
So that's an average of all of them. So that throws the punter in there. That throws the guy who's sat the bench.
The punter lives the longest.
Yeah, of course he does. Seriously, and you got to know that the people that are bringing that average down the most are the linemen, because I think today's average lineman is like 100 pounds heavier than just like 2 decades ago.
Yeah, those habits, and then not having that kind of rigorous activity, like it just cutting that off, and now what? It's like you're going to maintain this high calorie diet, like even when you're trying to cut it down, it just did so much damage.
So I messed up the shake. So here's what he made: 7 scrambled eggs, a tub of cottage cheese, grits, peanut butter, a banana, and Gatorade, and he blend it, and then drink it. And he says that he was constantly feel. Who is this guy that was talking? I should tell you guys what his name is.
This one's super famous.
Yeah. Ben Bartsch. He's an offensive lineman. Yeah. So, okay. But he says that he constantly felt like he was stuffed all the time. But he says the only way he could get his weight up to what they wanted. I mean, here's the thing. Sports are...
Dude, they're giants.
Professional sports are anything but healthy, okay? You're pushing your body to the extreme. And football has to be one of the least healthy. It's one of the most dangerous, I would assume.
Well, and then you throw in eating like that, too.
It's crazy.
And Justin's point. All the pro athletes that I've trained post their career, that's one of the hardest things is that they were for so many years, they were used to eating a certain way. And it's like, dude, you can't even come close to that. I know what I've had to change in the last few years from not lifting and training as hard. I mean, they're lifting, training hard, and playing at a whole nother level. The amount of and then trying to maintain a weight like that, you can't even be close to that.
He says that at one point, one of the head coaches wanted to weigh him. This is when he first started. So he quickly went downstairs, grabbed 2 10-pound weights, put them in the back of his pants. He had big sweats on to try to make the weight that they needed. And then he says how later on, gaining weight wasn't a problem. Now it was too hard for him to be at the right weight. He was starting to get too overweight. And they started to charge. The NFL would fine him for every extra pound. You want to know how much he got fined? $1,000.
Per pound?
Per pound over the limit, because they said that his number was 338.
Yeah.
So any pound over that was $1,000. But yeah, it's cool to hear them talk about how unhealthy it is for them to follow this regime or whatever. But 7,000 calories a day, that's not easy.
No.
You know, it's hard to do that. I've done that.
You remember when they came out with, did you ever read what Michael Phelps was eating?
Yeah.
10,000?
Yeah,
he had like a 10,000 calorie breakfast or something.
He had to go to McDonald's constantly just to keep it going.
When you're eating that much food, so here's the thing that people need to understand. It's hard to eat. I know this. It's hard to eat over 3,000 calories of healthy food. Very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You have to reach for the hyper-palatable crap because, if I'm eating healthy food, it automatically satiates you. It's not hyper-palatable.
Now, and I'm sure there's people wondering, why would they do that? There is something to be said, though. I think of Michael Phelps. It was probably advantageous for him to eat that much because then when he comes out, at least he didn't, destroy his metabolism. Because if you were only eating 3,000 calories or 2,500 calories and burning as much as
you wouldn't be able to perform.
Right. You wouldn't be able to perform. You'd slow your metabolism down like crazy. And then when you actually stop swimming, it'd be really easy to put on a ton of weight. At least in his case, if you got your body used to burning 10,000 calories and he just jumped and he stopped swimming like cold turkey, then he could cut his calories in half and still have 5,000 calories.
When you're training and eating to achieve a extreme level of performance, I don't care what we're talking about, it's no longer balanced. It's no longer longevity or health. It's about maximum performance. So Michael Phelps, the best competitive swimmer of all time. I still think he has the record for the most gold medals.
Oh, yeah, no.
If I'm not mistaken.
He has the record for most gold medals, the record for the most Olympic medals. It was Doug can get this. I just read this, actually. It was they were talking about it in the book that I was reading, and I want to say it's 14.
Yeah.
14 Olympic medals, and I can't.
So dominant.
Oh, just beyond. He's got all kinds of records.
You know what's funny about swimmers is that I remember it was a long time ago. I watched this show on like the best athletes, mm-hmm. and they were explaining how what makes somebody genetically, what makes someone an excellent swimmer, basically makes them terrible at any other sport. Mm. Have you guys heard of this? Mm. So what makes somebody, genetically speaking, a really, really good swimmer, like Michael Phelps, is really short legs, mm-hmm. really, really long arms, like you know, comically long arms, a flat rib cage and torso. And so any other sport on land.
So you look like a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Like a big canoe with these
28 medals.
28 medals you won.
28?
Yeah. How many gold, Doug?
That's mind-boggling.
Maybe it was 14 gold then.
That's insane to me. Damn. That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, he was in the pool, what?
But then he probably,
7 hours
like you said, he probably sucks at everything else.
Yeah.
How shitty is that?
You want to see him run.
You're an Olympic athlete. You get your ass kicked by all your buddies in every other sport.
Oh, yeah. Basketball, he's just getting dunked every 2 seconds.
You ever seen a picture of Michael Phelps standing next to the fastest, I think it was, marathon runner in the world? Have you ever seen that? Mm-mm. So Michael Phelps is like way taller than this other dude who's one of the fastest distance runners, but their legs are the same length. Mm. Because Michael Phelps' legs are so short, and the marathon runner's legs are so long, so they have the same, like, their waist was like the same, but then Phelps' is like torso is just, you know, through the roof.
Dude, speaking of dominance, my little dog, you know, that I just got, the little miniature dachshund.
Yeah. Oh, he punks the big one, huh?
So he's just like constantly just like jumping on, you know, Arlo. And it was funny because he just started, you know, getting a little bit randy these days, started like humping everything. And like my youngest was playing with him and was looking up at me. And then I, like, his hand was down there, and all of a sudden, like, Finn started just humping his arm. And he's like, oh, and I was like, don't let him do that. You know, that's a dominance. Like, he's humping you. And then that turned into a conversation I wasn't really ready to have. He's like, okay, so what is humping, Dad? Like, what's, and then he's like, it's so I tried to like work my way out of it, like real quick, you know, and I'm just like, oh, he just does that because he's trying to be alpha dog, whatever. And
it's kind of like when I'm wrestling with your mom naked and you walk in,
dude. Like, this just opened up a can of worms, right? And so he's in my room, I hear him, he's like, well, I'm gonna hump him back. And I was like, no, don't do that. It's like, that's not, no, we don't do that, buddy. So yeah, the humping thing, the term now is coming up a lot more now ever since that.
Dude, you used the wrong word.
So screwed,
I remember when I was a kid, I remember my sister was like 8 maybe, and she comes inside all excited, you know, to my dad, right? Papa, papa, come outside. Look, the dog knows how to dance. And my dad's like, what? So she goes outside, and the dog grabs her leg and starts humping her, and she's like dancing. Enough. I remember my dad having this look, and he grabs a hose.
he's like,
why did you spray him?
That's a bad dance.
Yeah.
He's trying
that's
to
the
dance.
Naughty dance.
Like, he's not trying to dance.
Yeah, it's funny because he asked Corey, he's like, is this humping, Mom? He started doing it in the air.
Oh,
and
no.
She's like, no, I think he's your hips more.
That's terrible. Anyway, dude, I had this morning I had a great workout. I'm feeling like you know how I avoided squats for a long time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coming back. Yeah, I'm feeling good again. And, you know, I was thinking about how we tend to apply low reps and high reps to our workouts and sets. And I thought this would be an interesting point to bring up on the show. Typically, if you're working for strength and you're doing low repetitions, you're better off doing more sets of less exercises. When you're doing high reps, you're better off doing less sets but more exercises. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing high reps for chest, I'm better off doing 5 exercises, 2 sets each, for example. If I'm doing strength and low reps, I'm better off doing 2 exercises, but maybe 5 sets each instead to practice the skill of strength. Right. And it just occurred to me, I was like, it should be communicated.
Well, I tell you what I'm really excited for is I saw the final work that Justin's been putting into the webinar, and I saw some of the work he was doing with Doug, and I'm pumped
for that. Oh, that's so good.
I mean, we had such a great response from the Prime Pro webinar, and I know that it's been needed for a long time for us to do Prime because so many people confuse the two of those.
Yeah.
And it was cool to watch you guys go through that and what a difference just you teaching a single priming movement to Doug did. So
dude,
that was great.
If you work out and you know that it takes you 2-3 sets, 15, 20 minutes to get into the workout, get in the groove, really feel the maximum effects of a workout, a simple 10-minute priming session that's individualized, because you have to prime your body differently than someone else who may have different issues, that's going to do it for you. And you jump right into your workout with much better connection and form. People don't get that. So I'm hoping that this webinar, people follow along, test themselves before, do the stuff that you're showing them, and then test themselves afterwards.
It's such a feel thing. Yeah. And I think that's why everybody was so stoked the first time, you know, when you're doing the Prime Pro webinar. You really have to go through it to experience it. We could talk about it all day long about the benefits, which we try to do. We try to demystify that process, but to be able to kind of set aside time and really feel your way through it and see where your body is deficient, but now you can, you know, you can really like improve these things almost immediately by doing a few simple exercises. It's really powerful.
Oh, it's huge. And is the site the same place, Doug? Are they still going to MAPS?
Let's go to MAPS Prime Web. Webinar.com.
So MAPS Prime Webinar, and then you can sign up for it, and it's basically a class. So right. Justin is going to take you through a priming, how to prime your body class. So before your workouts,
you will be tested.
And you should let people know too, because a lot of people get, ask me this question after ours, the one that I did, is if you can't make one of the times to the live event of it, then what you can do is register and you'll actually automatically get emailed a replay. Is that right, Doug?
That's correct.
So make sure even if like the times that we're doing it, you can't make it, still register, because then you'll still get it.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from Tom LeBlanc Official. Is getting 10,000 steps in one shot any better or worse than getting those 10,000 steps throughout the day?
Oh, that's a great question. It's actually probably better
throughout the day
to spread them out. Now, if your goal is to improve your stamina and endurance, let's say you want to compete in something that requires you to like, you know, wear yourself out and push yourself, then you want to mimic that kind of competition with your training somewhat, right? So some of the benefits of doing all 10,000 steps in one shot would be you're going to push stamina and endurance a little more. But in terms of longevity, fat burn, muscle sparing, you're better off spreading out throughout the whole day. And there are studies that support this. There are studies that have compared two 30-minute sessions of cardio to one 60-minute session of cardio. And they do allude to the fact that the two 30-minute sessions tend to burn more body fat and tend to preserve more muscle. So spreading it out is probably your best bet.
I would also make the case for energy and mood too. I mean, doing one hard bout of 10,000, basically that's like running for an hour, right? Or about an hour, a little over an hour or so. If doing it, and then you're done. And then if you have rest of your day, you were sedentary. Like let's say you did that at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? And then all day long, you're pretty much sedentary the rest of the day. Your energy levels, your overall mood, I think, would be greatly improved if you took that same amount and you broke it up over, you know, instead of two, even 30 minute sessions, forget that, just walking 15 minutes on the hour, every hour for the whole day.
Way more productive.
Yeah. Just getting up and getting blood flow. And I think that what that would do for your mood and energy, I would make the case it's also better too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just seen too where companies have found when they give more of these short breaks for activity and for them to go out and go for a walk and, you know, do things physically, like coming back to, you know, get back on task, they found, you know, workers have been a lot more productive. It just re-stimulates, you know, cognitive function. You get all these benefits to it. So it's something that I think just spreading it out throughout the day is just a lot better strategy. But I can understand if you are trying to really press yourself endurance-wise, like you have to have a specific goal for that.
Yeah, behaviorally speaking, because remember, a lot of this advice, you know, I talked about the studies. We talked about which one probably works a little better. But a lot of my opinion is also based off of just my experience training people. everyday people. And behaviorally speaking, if you can attach some walking to other daily rituals, you're far more likely to do it long term. So what does that look like? Well, an example would be after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I walk for 30 minutes. Now, because I attached it to three things that I already do every single day, I always have breakfast, I always have lunch, I always have dinner. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ritualize something else to something that I already do, which is the eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So now I'm going to walk 30 minutes after each one. The odds that I'm going to maintain that and keep it consistent long-term are much higher. Spreading out your activity works that way. It just does. If I tell a client to, and it sounds like it wouldn't be that way, right? If I told a client, hey, devote 1 hour to working out versus, hey, do 20 minutes of exercise after each meal or after things you do, you would think, oh, the 1 hour carved out, somebody could stick to that more long term. It actually doesn't work that way. In practice, people are far more likely to be consistent when it's kind of spread out throughout the day, especially when it's attached to things that they do on a regular basis. So, you know, generally speaking, you're better off getting the 10,000 steps throughout the day, integrating it into your life, than you are doing it all in one shot. But if you were to compare them and they were consistent and they were perfect in terms of results, you probably would still see better results from a fat loss, a muscle preserving standpoint with the spread out. But it's not a huge difference, but you probably would still see a difference.
Next question is from DJs20. EAAs versus BCAAs. Are they both useless for the average gym goer?
I'm glad you grabbed this because I've had a bunch of people DM me about this.
Yeah, this is still a thing, which is what... Okay, so essential EAA stands for essential amino acids. The reason why they're called... So there's two essential macronutrients. We have three macronutrients, right? Proteins, fats, and carbs. Only two of them are essential, meaning you have to consume them for your body to just function. And in fact, if you avoid them for long enough, you can actually starve. And those are fats and proteins. Fats and proteins are essential. In fats, you have essential fatty acids. They're essential because your body has to eat them in order to get them. Your body can't create them. With proteins are made up of amino acids. There are non-essential amino acids that your body can actually make. And then there are essential amino acids that your body can't make. You have to consume them. They're essential. Okay, so that's what EAA is. Branched chain amino acids are three of those essential amino acids. So there's 10 essential amino acids. The branched amino acids are three of those. And those three have been shown to do special things in the body. So what do supplement manufacturers and what does the industry do? They say, oh, these are essential amino acids. You have to eat them. Oh, branched amino acids have special properties, especially when it comes to recovery and muscle building. So if you just supplement with them, then you're going to get better muscle building results and better recovery. This is true if your protein intake is low. If your protein intake is low, supplementing with either one of these, you'll notice benefits. If your protein intake is high, if you're eating 0.6 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, if you have a normal body weight, if you're obese, then you want to use your what would be considered normal body weight for your height. If you're eating that much protein, any additional amino acids do nothing. You're getting the max benefit that you're going to get from amino acids, and supplementing with them doesn't do anything extra for you. And the studies are consistent. When you give branched amino acids to vegans who typically consume low protein or essential amino acids, they do better. They recover faster. They tend to build more muscle. When you give these amino acids to people who eat a high protein diet, it's like, you guys ever seen that meme where there's the
he's dumping the water on his head.
Yeah, he's in the pool and he's throwing water on his head.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything extra for you for supplementing with them. So, it's kind of a waste. And it's by the way, amino acids were some of the first bodybuilding supplements ever to hit the market. They were some of the first. First they sold protein, and the very next thing that they started selling was they started saying amino acids. And for whatever reason, every 5 years or so, it falls out of favor, and then it comes back in favor with some new person who's saying this is the greatest thing. If they're not new, they've been around forever. We studied them for very long. If you have high protein diet, it's a waste of money.
So what do you say to somebody? Because the argument that somebody would make is that, well, you know, I keep them on hand then in case I don't hit my protein intake for the day, and then I make sure I take them at the end of the night in case I don't hit my protein.
Just take protein.
Then that's how I respond to somebody.
Yeah, one scoop of whey protein, or one scoop of let's say you're vegan or you don't like dairy because it bothers you, so you go with the Organifi Complete Protein. One scoop of that, right? Let's say it's 15 grams of protein. 15 grams of protein is 1,500 milligrams of amino acid. And a large part of that are essential amino acids and branched amino acids. You know, three branched amino acid tablets or one scoop of branched amino acids or essential amino acids isn't going to come close to a scoop of your protein powder. Which one is cheaper, protein powder or essential amino acid supplements? If you compare them on a dosage basis, protein powder is cheaper. Because in order to get essential amino acids, here's what the companies are doing. They're going to protein sources.
Yeah, extracting.
And then they're separating them. It's more steps to create an inferior product. So now, again, if you have low protein intake and you struggle with that, and for whatever reason you don't want to supplement with a protein powder and you like the taste of your, you know, lemonade flavored watermelon, whatever, you know, BCAA.
Yeah. Watermelon, then, dude.
Then then I guess that's fine, but it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to do anything for you if your protein intake is high. So they market it a lot because we know what amino acids do. They have important roles in the body. Essential amino acids, extremely important.
Great margins for the supplement company.
Yeah, they are. But again, if they're important. But if you're getting, there's a point where you get enough and more does nothing. It's like vitamins, you know, it's like, you know, vitamin C is great for immune system. Okay. Does that mean taking, you know, a million times the normal
you're just
dose?
Piss it out.
Yeah. It's not going to benefit you anymore. Same thing with carbs. I remember I'd say probably 15 years ago, carb supplements were actually popular. Remember this when you would buy a carbo load or, you know, these drinks. And it's because athletes knew that carbs gave you energy for sports. And so this is before people thought carbs made you fat, right? So athletes, bodybuilders would actually buy carbo load or carbo whatever drinks because, oh, carbs give me energy and then therefore more is going to give me, you know, more. And yeah, it doesn't work that way. So amino acids, supplementation, essential and branching, waste of money if your protein intake is high. If your protein intake is low and you don't want to take protein powder, then yes, you'll benefit from them.
Next question is from Jay Muscle. What do your wives' training programs look like right now? I'm sure they're swamped with kids at home, and I would love to hear how each of them trains now versus as they normally do.
Oh, boy.
Well, mine's doing aesthetic right now, actually.
Like, that's what Katrina's doing right
now. Yeah, so she's really enjoying that. And we do have the setup, thankfully, through our PRX fold-out squat rack and dumbbells. And so, I mean, it's a minimal – we don't have machines, obviously, but so there's some components to that, you know, we've used machines before for aesthetic. But in terms of those focus sessions, you can replace a lot of that with the barbells and the dumbbells and, you know, get just as good of a workout out of it. So she's been having a really good time with that and reaping, you know, a lot of the gains with that. So next thing is really just the nutrition piece to nail down. For her, but that's been the big focus right now. Obviously, going into summer, I think that's something that a lot of people are kind of looking into as well.
Yeah. So Jessica's pregnant, right? So I'm training her according to how she feels, and she trains herself a lot of the times. Usually, what it looks like is full like compound movements, maybe 3 to 4 every other day. So she'll pick maybe 3 or 4 compound movements every other day, and then every other day, so the days after, she'll pick 3 or 4 isolation movements. And so she's working out about 5 to 6 days a week. You know, one day compound movements, the next day isolation movements. And we're paying close attention to how she feels, how she braces her core. Right now, squatting feels really good to her, actually more so than split stance exercises because her belly kind of gets in the way with the split stance type of stuff. Incline presses, laying flat on her back, doesn't feel super, super good. Pull-ups don't feel too great because she feels like she gets strain in her midsection because it's already stretching out. So we're using I have a squat rack and it's got a cable on the top. So we'll do pull-downs or we'll do cable rows. But really just focusing on maintaining strength and muscle so that her metabolism is amped for, you know, when the baby's born.
So Katrina recently just transitioned to MAPS aesthetic. She finished MAPS anabolic. But, you know, that's what a good week looks like. And I think this person's searching for more of like, you know, I'm not going to tell you like the perfect week, right? The perfect week is she's going through MAPS aesthetic, like literally exactly what's in the program. But mm-hmm. the reality is it looks a lot of times like this, like she may get two lifts in a week. And when she does that, she's been, you know, I've coached her on, you know, if you know you're not going to get the full program instead of just following one of those days when it's designed for four or five or more days, focus on the movements that we've constantly been working on and practicing, and those are the big lifts. So she a lot of times may go in and you may see her just do some mobility work, especially since that's fresh in her mind because we just did the Prime Pro webinar and she followed along with her family and stuff. So she might spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes doing Prime Pro type of work and then just squat or just deadlift or just overhead press. So I've got her now doing stuff like that, that she probably didn't do that before in the past, you know, in the way, way past when we first met, she kind of did her own thing. And then finally I got her into like legit programming and then she would follow whatever I had going for her. Then MAPS came along and then she would follow every program to a T. Then getting pregnant happened. And there was a lot of inconsistency with her training. And so that's when I started talking to her about, listen, the biggest bang for your buck is when you do these big compound lifts. So spend the time doing that. And then the other time of her exercise would be walking. Her and I walk a lot right now. I mean, every day we're putting in at least an hour to 2 hours of walking together. Sometimes all of that in one shot. Sometimes that broken up in 30, 45 minute bouts. But, you know, we've been really good about, and I've been back to wearing my Fitbit. And so I've been over 10,000 steps every day. So has she. And that's been kind of what we've been hitting as our markers. Like, okay, let's make sure we get enough steps in every day that we're walking enough to hit over 10,000. If we get to the gym and we can lift, we're making sure that we're getting our big compound lifts. And then our eating is adjusted, you know, because we both know that we're not training like we were 3-4 years ago. You know, diet is definitely pulled back on calories. So her and I are only eating, you know, two times, maybe three times in the day. And that's what it looks like. So on a inconsistent week, which I would say happens more often, she's not following aesthetic to a T. She's doing things like that. If it's a great week for her, then she's following the program to a T.
Yeah, actually, I mean, you kind of reminded me about a couple things priming wise. Like we've had to do a lot of work on bracing and getting proper core connectivity because of past back problems and back injuries. And so, you know, there's a lot of that that I had to kind of go through and help to kind of coach and teach and ritualize because she hated doing any kind of mobility drills, just wants to get into the workout. I know a lot of people can relate to that, but in terms of like being able to then prime ahead of time and able to get into the actual like workouts and go do the workouts to the T required a lot of prime work ahead of time with you know, certain techniques, the wall tests for one, and then also with the windmill, just really learning to be able to maintain that tension throughout and brace and support while also rotating the spine and getting through movement like that. So that's been like really, you know, a key factor with her improving, being able to build off of that as well.
Next question is from CD Champ 17. In honor of Mother's Day, what's one thing that your mother instilled in you when you were young that you're grateful for today?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good one.
Talk about the moms.
Yeah. You know, one thing my mom did when I was a kid is she always allowed us to have an opinion. And she would allow us to discuss and argue our points. Which, you know, I could see some parents saying, oh, that's not a good thing because, you know, you just got to, you say what, you know, what the rules are and that's the way it is or whatever. And it wasn't like I won. Sometimes I did, but usually I didn't. But she allowed me to feel like I had a say and to discuss and debate with my mom. And it's, you know, this was very valuable looking back because I still respected her. But it made me feel like I had a say, and it helped me sharpen my voice. It helped me sharpen kind of how I can discuss and learn things, you know. And looking back, I'm really, really grateful on that kind of stuff. I mean, I remember, you know, you guys know I played the trumpet for a few years in as a kid, right, in elementary school.
I forgot all and about then, that.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Big horn blower.
Oh, yeah. And
rusty trumpets.
Shut up. You yeah. play the saxophone.
It's fine.
But I did it. I convinced her I wanted to do it. My parents bought me the, you know, Bach, you know, trumpet. They're expensive. They're expensive, you know, because it costs like $500. Hmm. And I did it, and I didn't like it after the first year. Mm-hmm. And I talked to her about it. And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. She's like, well, we invested the money. You made the commitment. So we got it, whatever. So it was like this discussion that we would have. And I didn't, of course, she didn't let me like whine and complain about it, but she would let me talk about it. And we'd have these debates and discussions. By the time I got to seventh grade, I had this music teacher that I just could not stand. Nobody liked this lady. It wasn't great. And so I actually sat her down and I said, you know, I said, Mom, you really want me to do well in all of my classes? You want me to perform well in school? And she says, yeah, I do. And I said, well, the stress of taking this class is affecting the... And so I put up this great argument, you know, this great point that I had. And my mom smiled and she says, that's a really good point. She says, you still have to finish the year, but I like that you presented yourself that way. So we'll talk about it at the end of the year. And I was able to quit afterwards. But she allowed me to have that say, which I think is part of, you know, now has become kind of part of who I am. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like we've definitely had our battles back and forth, my mom and I, but I know like now looking back, like some things that were really great that she instilled in me were very much like the creative outlets. Like she would, again, expose me to music, expose me to, you know, crafts and we'd spend a lot of time really building and exploring things and drawing. And like my mom is very, very artistic and she still kind of expresses that a lot through costuming and lots of stuff like that and different projects and just getting herself involved in things. And that's definitely where that comes from for me in terms of just exploring ideas and then creating them and, you know, like figuring out that whole process and how to improve and just come up with ideas. And so she was real instrumental with that. The other part of it was like just very fiery. She's a redhead, you know, like is very like if somebody was messing with me, like it, say it was a teacher that like she felt like was, you know, come like giving me a bad grade for something that I didn't deserve, which did happen a few times. Like one of them was I was actually being I was a TA for a teacher as a goof. This is kind of an off track story, but I used to like mess with this teacher all the time in class. I was like the class clown with my other friend, and she'd kick us out all the time, like out of class. And this is just something that we were just like, you know, I could understand why she didn't like me. And so I thought it'd be funny to be her TA and do everything like perfect, but I knew she hated the fact that I was there with her, right? And so I was just there to be annoying. And so this whole semester, like I'm doing everything she possibly could have wanted, you know, me to do or whatever. And then she gave me like a C or like a C minus or whatever. She couldn't
as a teacher's aide.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be,
I've never even heard anyone getting a C for a teacher aide.
Right. She's just being a bitch.
That's supposed to be an easy A, dude.
Exactly. That's why I was banking on that easy A. Right. And so I'm like, whatever, you know, like that's,
I passed.
Obviously she hated me, you know, that's fine. My mom like got this wild hair and just like went down there and just like let her have it and then like got her to change the grade. And I had to be really careful about what I told my mom is the point. Like she was just very like would go out to battle anybody on behalf of her family. She's very like loyal, protective, like, and so that's something like I do share that, but I had to be real, real careful because what I would tell her in terms of like, you know, any of these other teachers or things that would come up and arise, because I'd be like, I don't want you to go down there and do nothing about it. You know, Mom, I got this. That's for the most part, you know.
Dude, you reminded me of a story. I my mom never cursed, never. In fact, as adults now, if she says shit, which is rare, my siblings and I are all like, oh my God, Mom said a bad word. But when I was a kid, never, except for one time. Uh-huh. I remember I was young. I must have been like seven. you know, sitting in the front seat. This is before anybody gave a shit. So your kids sit, and you can sit in your lap while you drive. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting in the driver's side, on the passenger side, and my mom goes to take off at the stop sign, and a truck almost hits us, slams the brakes, and, you know, protective mode, my mom, right? Protective mode. She rolls the window down, and the guy's looking at her, and it's like in the heat of the moment, and my mom goes, "Fuck you, motherfucker!" And I, whoa,
like zero cuss words to that,
dude. Wow. Dude, I heard that out of my mom's mouth, and I was like, "Whoa,
that was powerful."
Zero to MF. I was like, "Whoa!"
And then the dude drove by.
The big words.
Yeah, and she's driving. I'm like, "Mom, you said a lot of bad words." She's like, "He really made me angry." And she didn't say anything else. But I remember. I'll never forget that because that's such a weird thing for my mom.
So much more powerful when you never hear it.
Oh my gosh,
that's hilarious. My mom definitely is responsible for my moral foundation and my faith for sure. So that is came from her. She instilled that in me at a very young age. And no doubt, as challenging of a childhood as I may have had, she probably had as challenging, if not more challenging. So I also got a lot of my grit from my mom. So the ability to overcome adversity, as all the things that we'd gone through, I never felt like my mom sat on her hands and was like, "Oh, poor me, poor us." It was always like, "We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. We're fine." And she always had this resiliency and this faith that was unbelievable because we did. We always made it. We survived. We were fine. And no matter whether we were bouncing from house to house or dealing with my dad dying and then being in an abusive relationship, all these things that she went through, she always got back up again. And my mom was somebody who ended up getting her degree like in her 40s. So she later in life finished her degree and finally finished what her lifelong dream was. As long as I could remember, my mom wanted to be this teacher. And she was always going, chipping away at school while she was also trying to raise five kids and work through a husband dying and then being in an abusive relationship and bouncing around from town to town. And the fact that she still, you know, persevered through all that, made it, and has got a great life for herself now, loves what she does for a living. If it wasn't for her, there's no way that I probably would have the ambition and probably the grit that I have. I definitely have that running through me, and I'm for sure that came from my mom.
Yeah, if you really think about it, moms really have such a huge role in shaping society because – and I don't think sometimes they don't get credit because they're not the Elon Musks of the world or the Bill Gates or the whatever. But when you really think about it, you know, and statistically they'll show this, moms – statistically spend far more time with their children than fathers do. That's been historic throughout most, I guess, all of recorded human history. This has been pretty much true in almost every civilization. Even today with our society where, you know, the roles are not nearly as clear defined as they were before, they still spend far more time. It's still far less likely for a mom to not be present with their kids than a dad or whatever. So they play very important roles in shaping our societies, and so I think they can get all the credit in the world, and they still don't get enough credit.
Yep.
And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download all of our guides and resources. They're all free. You can also find your favorite podcast hosts ever on Instagram. You can find Justin at mindpumpjustin. You can find me at mindpumpsal. Adam at mindpumpadam. And by the way, Doug also has an Instagram page. He shows you all the behind the scenes stuff. The equipment we use when we record the podcast,
tech.
The cameras, how frustrating it is for him to deal with us as his partners. Go on Mind Pump Doug, at Mind Pump Doug on Instagram. Check it out.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.